Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
In the year of our Lord 2019.
Finally, it's so genuinely good to be back. It is. I'm hyped.
It's pretty good. Now, although the podcast tend to go out on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we thought, why not dive in because we're back.
What day is it?
I don't even know anymore.
Great question, Ewan.
I want to say it's Thursday.
I've lost the concept of days like 3 weeks ago.
But not to worry. We thought we'd out, because I usually would have a nice little bit of banter, but there's so many games to get through. 2019 is already ridiculously loaded, and both you guys came to me this morning.
Stacked.
So what you're
saying is there's no banner allowed in this podcast at all.
We're going to be completely professional and focus on the games. But like you guys said this morning, we should do a podcast on the amount of things coming, because there's a ridiculous amount. And even after I get through these, there'll be some that I've missed off. But doing these in order, starting with, basically we're going to run down all the games we're looking forward to, all the notable talking points that are released and confirmed so far. Resident Evil 2 Remake is the first one, coming on 25th of January.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one to kickstart it, in my opinion. And it's a day after my birthday, so I'm very much looking forward to it. It's a present from Capcom directly to me, which is why I'm excited for it.
How are you guys looking forward to how much they're going to change things up? Because it seems like it's Resident Evil 4's
This is
DNA.
Interesting for me because, again, kind of just shoving my sacrilegious face in this medium, I have not played the original Resident Evil 2.
Oh, God.
But I have played Resident Evil. I've played all the Resident Evils from 4 through to Biohazard. So this is an interesting experience to me because it's going back to the gameplay formula that I associate Resident Evil with. I never really knew the isometric kind of framey walking.
Can't hit the zombie because you're pointing at the wrong bit.
But I'm excited. It looks beautiful. Like, it looks fantastic. And I love the... It's a great way of reintroducing these old games, I think, because I never got the chance to play it when I was young because, you know, you weren't allowed to play those games when you were little.
Josh Brown.
Well, this is the thing. I've said it in a chatty faces that may or may not be up, but I have some unfinished business with Resident Evil 2. So I was so scared of that as a kid. I watched my dad play the first one and I finally played the second, but I was too scared to actually get through it. For some reason, that "you are dead" screen was like the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get killed by a zombie. I think I got half an hour in. So I've got unfinished business with this. I've since like gone back and played it, but I've got unfinished business with it in my head.
Because I forget the exact year that Resi 2 came out, but I did play it when it first came out. I have the weirdest blur.
When you were 50.
When I was but a wee 80-year-old, I first played it. And I remember it coming out. I remember being blown away by the overhauled graphics, because obviously the first game is just a blocky kind of mess. And I just want to go back to it and see what they've done with all those levels. Mm-hmm. But that You Are Dead thing, I remember that terrifying me and my friends.
It wasn't just me.
It was just kind of like, that's the game where you
the
die.
The same sensation of going into a random amusements and playing House of the Dead, but not playing it because your parents wouldn't let you on it, so you just pretend to shoot the things, that there'd be the zombies there, and you'd be like, oh.
Two-player mode, both sad. Games is the only way to play those games.
I think this is a good way to
black cool kids will understand.
Yes, they will. So the next game we have is Metro Exodus. That's on the 15th of February.
Yeah.
Now, I forget how many out of you two guys who's played the Metro games. I think you have. I have not.
I really love these games. These are some of the most underrated ones of... I know they didn't come out actually this generation, but they were remastered for this generation, which is where I first give them a go. And you should, because they're so cheap now.
Yes.
And they are... they're post-apocalyptic games done in a way I haven't quite seen before. And I think a lot of that comes from the source material. Mm-hmm. And this one seems to be like the biggest one. Yeah, it's gone kind of semi-open world. And I think between this and Resident Evil 2, we've got a really good start of the year. Kind of reminds me of when Monster Hunter and I think Dragon Ball came out at the start of last year, and you had these two big hitters straight away that kind of like just picked up the momentum and didn't quite stop.
I think like the Metro games have kind of been primed to be like, I think Metro Exodus will do for Metro what Witcher 3 did for The Witcher, where people know of that franchise and they know that it has this backbone of this, like, you know, author base. Like, there's a really good source material to it.
Yes.
But having played Metro Exodus, me and Jules played it in Birmingham at EGX. I still think, because one of my problems with Metro Last Light was the combat's kind of just not weighty enough. Like, I love the tone, I love the idea of humanity being forced underground, all these different factions that, you know, like come to be or whatever, and everyone comes back to the surface and whatever. I always loved that, but the combat I just felt was a little bit light.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've got these like semi-open world segments, and they've got really good AI routines, kind of like Red Dead 2. It's like that they'll remember different things that happen and things. Lots of things. But that is the thing. Is that even after we went through the playable demo, I was like, oh, the combat's just not landing for me, and that's the thing that ultimately turned me off last night.
That's kind of fascinating to me, because like you said, I think this could be the Witcher 3 moment, but it's got a lot of weight to pull to get there. Like you said, the combat, they didn't really decide on a sort of style between the first and second game. The first game was really stealth heavy, whereas the second one was more action packed. And in the remasters, you could kind of like flick between which style you wanted to do, but they have to decide on one, presumably, for the third game. And I hope they figure that out, because then it could be kind of really good.
Interesting, because the second game fell off the world for me. I didn't really, I remember the first one being a really big thing, because it was like we had an influx of post apocalyptic shooters, but then we had this one that presented like a Russian perspective.
Yeah.
And that was really fascinating. And I thought the art design, the visuals were all really cool. So I may invest myself in this one. I was saying to you earlier that even though 2018 was demonstrably an amazing year for video games, I see myself potentially buying more this year, because it's just in terms of stuff that I enjoy, stuff like Metro and Resident Evil, and then all this stuff to come later down the line. I think that's quite interesting.
Well, that's interesting. I think because like, from a business standpoint, releasing Metro now as opposed to later on in the year, even summer, is a really good move, because there's nothing really else around like it. We've got Resident Evil and a couple of other games, but to get it sort of out before the competition is a really good sort of idea.
Well, the thing I was thinking of is, like, had Fallout 76 not been a massive tire fire, then they might have had some competition. But I think the people who love post-apocalyptic RPGs are waiting for something to be remotely satisfying. And, like, you know, pure happenstance, but they happen to be delivering people exactly what they want. Do you guys want a new installment in a franchise that we've had a million of? Because
which one?
Next, 15th of February, the same day as Metro Exodus, Far Cry New Dawn is out.
I'm all right.
Do you want?
I think I'm all right.
So the timeline, the story for this thing is, it goes with the ending where all the nukes went off, and Joseph Seed is still alive, and he's in the bunker because of one of the endings of Far Cry 5 is that he was right about all the apocalypse happening, or it's the fact that America's at war with North Korea, whatever it is, in the background of the game.
Who cares?
Everything goes to hell, and in the new game, it's all post-apocalypse, all hyper-colour, very pink, very green.
Very rage too. I was just about to say, it's hard not to be cynical, isn't it?
No, but it's weird, because if they are directly aping Rage 2, considering how much time games take to develop, they must have known about that way ahead of time.
Yeah.
Maybe someone's talking to someone over at Software or Avalanche and just be like, what are you guys doing there? Super pink post-apocalyptic show?
I think that trend is just sort of in vogue right now, and I think it was just that kind of unlucky coincidence.
We had that Revenge movie last year as well.
Revenge.
So it's a similar colour palette. But I think Far Cry 5 was a massive disappointment as far as I'm concerned. I thought the story had nothing to say but acted like it did at the same time, which is the most obnoxious thing ever. And then there wasn't enough variation in gameplay for me to be like, okay, Far Cry is a must-have first-person shooter experience. And there was none of that uniqueness that the earlier games seemed to have, like with 3 and 5, the psychological elements just felt kind of gimmicky and like, you know, the whole Bliss drug up sequence. It felt very, very derivative, and I don't have.
I think it's weird. They've nigh on been releasing the same game over and over again since Far Cry 3. I mean, 4 was very much like called that, and then we had Primal, which a lot of people even forget even happened. And then 5 happened, and then there was all the extra DLC packs for 5, and it was just like, how many times are you going to go back to the same well?
Yeah.
And I love Far Cry 3. I even really like 4. And Primal for the most part. But when you start thinking of like where they're gonna go, and it's like, hey, we're doing a new Far Cry, and it's just more. It's just more of the same. It feels like a glorified DLC.
That's the issue with me, and I want to clear up actually a false narrative, because I did the most disappointing games of 2018 and put Far Cry 5 on there, which did not go down well. But I want to like sort of clear it up. I was disappointed in Far Cry 5 for a lot of the reasons you were, Ewan. But I still really, really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it much more than you guys. I gave it 3.5 in my original review. I thought it was better than 4. I thought mechanically it was like the best it's been in a while, but from a narrative perspective, it was sort of fell a bit flat. So to see them kind of run with that and to kind of do a sort of post-apocalyptic thing doesn't inspire much confidence in me. It's that sort of weird creative drought that they're in that they're just doesn't seem to be the idea supporting this sort of gameplay loop that I still think is really strong and is still compelling.
Yeah. And plus, like, I mean, yeah, if Far Cry 5 wasn't your most disappointing game and you actually loved it, I'd welcome those opinions too. Like, I mean, I'm more up for... I'd love to know what people found to love in that game, because for us, we all three of us kind of bounced off it. So that's kind of cool. Something else that's coming out on 15th of February, because for some reason this game, this date has a whole bunch of stuff, is Dead or Alive 6. Now, I know we're all Dead or Alive fans. I mean, I am. Well, I used to be anyway. I haven't played them properly since Dead or Alive 2 or 3.
But I've never played
none.
I've played.
You haven't played any of them?
No.
Oh, they're really good.
No.
Yeah. So okay. So back on the PS2, Dead or Alive 2 was one of the first games that a lot of people had. I don't think it was a launch game, but it was very close to the launch of the PS2. And obviously, the game's reputation for giant boobs tends to get in the way of the fact that it's an extremely well-playing fighting game. And back in the day, Dead or Alive 2, they had lots of like stage transitions and great like just fantastic animation, a great counter system. Like I would hold up Dead or Alive as a very good time-tested fighting game. Like I said, it's just overshadowed by massive. Mountainous, pendulous
right.
things.
Fighting games aren't my bag because I'm very, very bad at them.
I'm bad.
I love the fact that in like the past year, we've had Soul Calibur 6, we've had a new Dead or Alive, and we've got a new Mortal Kombat coming up. That's quite good. It's a good time to be a fighting fan, as long as these games
pan out. Well, the genres kind of like slowly came back. Like Tekken 7's back, and Justice 2, the Guilty Gear games, Dragon Ball's brilliant.
Oh yeah,
like there's so much. Like if you're a fan of one-on-one fighting games, it felt like they went away for the start of the 2010s, and they're kind of coming back. Yeah, DOA 6, it'll very much be more of the same with horrific cosmetic DLC. But if that's what you're into, there's a lot of it. So there's some of that. Some other games that are coming out, although we can actually drop in on Crackdown 3, which is in February 19th.
Yes.
How does anyone care about Crackdown
3? Maybe 10 years ago. I loved both Crackdown games. I said to you, like, the sensation of getting those agility orbs is probably the closest thing you'll ever know to experiencing just full on, just
crack.
Complete crack. Those games, it's weird to me that it's taken so long to get going, because if you think about it, Crackdown should have been like a once every 2 year release that probably peppered out through like the Xbox 360's console cycle, but then we've had to wait this long for one, and it feels as though the moment's passed it by. I don't own an Xbox, so I probably have no say in this whatsoever. If people who are owning an Xbox are excited for it, then fair play to you.
But you played the first two.
Yeah.
It's like Crackdown was one of the people, I mean, that was the reason I got a 360 initially. Mm-hmm. It was the game that came with my Xbox, and that was back in the day. Was one of the games that did like open world traversal. You had the collectibles. Like, it was very pioneering in terms of like enjoying an entire 3D space, open world space. But like you said, it's kind of passed itself by. Like, Crackdown 2 only had the wingsuit and was kind of regarded as glorified DLC. And then Crackdown 3, it's like they don't seem to know what they're hanging it on. And then now it's like, hey, Terry Crews is in it. And it's like, okay.
Weirdly enough, the position it's in, which I don't think is very good after all of the delays, and like you said, it seems like the moment's passed it by. It is in a position to surprise people, I think. If it is good, it can only be better than what people think it is. If it's not very good, it can only get better.
Maybe at this stage.
I don't know though.
Ain't no.
How many times has it been delayed now? Three.
Like, it was originally, I think, supposed to come out in 2016.
Yeah, and I remember. I think it was part of the initial slate of stuff that was coming out for the Xbox One. I'm sure they mentioned it.
It was originally at one point going to launch alongside the Xbox One X. I remember that.
Oh yeah, well, like maybe 2017. The agility orb thing, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, like, even the system first started getting rumored, it was like, well, it's going to use cloud powered technology for the destructible environments, and then it was like, do you know how you're going to compute that? No? All right, we'll delay it then. And eventually it'll come out. So yeah, so speaking of things that just are a little bit Anthem is coming on the 22nd of February. So, you know, good to see the
I hope
open world
right.
shooter.
I know.
2019, mate.
Right, okay, here's the thing.
Go on.
I was so optimistic last year.
Yes.
I was so optimistic when Fallout 76 was announced. Yeah, Ewan's dead. Ewan's gone. When Fallout 76 was announced, I remember standing side by side with you, and I was saying, it's going to be fine. A multiplayer Fallout game is going to be good. Yeah. And then I was burned, Scott. So now, I am still on fire. Whatever optimism I had for Anthem, I am not letting myself be in a position to be disappointed once more.
It's weird because I was in the exact same position as you. I saw it get announced. I was like, you know what? So what if it's similar to, like, people are comparing it to something else. I completely forgot what it was now. But so what if it was, like, kind of looked similar to other titles? I thought it looked pretty interesting, bar all the generic Destiny-esque kind of loot grindy-based gameplay, which I personally don't care for. But, yeah, no enthusiasm. And it doesn't look like EA are particularly enthusiastic about it either.
It's really weird. Yeah. Like, the last time they gave them a whole bunch of, like, stage time or whatever, I think it was at E3, and they had the whole team sitting out there, like, Corey, what's his face? It's first day back in a new year. I forget his name. The dude that was the responsible for Mass Effect, Corey Thingamajig.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah.
And he was on stage with the rest of the team, and they just sort of sat down and didn't really seem like they had much to show. Like, it's taken this long, and I don't think the average person even knows what the anthem is. Like, in-game, do you guys know what the anthem is?
Thing.
No, do you know what it is?
No, I don't know.
So the anthem apparently is the world itself that changes all the time, which is just their, I think, anyway, which is just their way of saying it'll be procedurally generated levels for the rest of time. But point being that even though they've brought the rest of the dev team out, they didn't really seem to hang it on much. And then they keep saying, like, well, we're BioWare, we've got this, like, backbone of narrative and story. And then when they show that stuff off, it's just first person going up to someone talking one dialogue. It's just, it just looks really rote. And I don't know, man. I mean, I hope it does all right. I want to love BioWare again.
Yes.
But Mass Effect 2 was a long time ago.
It was. I think it's kind of telling that they announced the Dragon Age game as well.
Yes.
It's sort of been like, look, we are still doing this stuff, so please also support Anthem. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that they've got a lot to prove. Dragon Quest Inquisition was solid, but nothing mind-blowing. And yeah, they just, considering Mass Effect Andromeda is the last thing that bore their namesake, which a lot of people have forgot about, we could do with something positive.
Making me think of all the bad faces from that game.
Yeah, there's always that. But speaking of good things, Devil May Cry 5 is on the 8th of March, which is the first Devil May Cry game since Devil May Cry 4, Josh Brown.
Is that true?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's true. I don't know anyone else who talks about the other games apart from you.
I like DMC as well.
Oh.
It's all right, man. It's fine. I mean, especially now that 5 exists, you can just think of it as a sort of cycling, non-canon, just as a thing to enjoy separate from this lovely thing that
you love. That's the opposite of the case. Because we're back on track now, I can completely discard what happened to that because it was this horrible, wannabe angsty, it was horrific. Anyway, not to worry.
Devil May Cry 5, though.
Yes, it's back.
It's good.
It's back with a vengeance. And the demo is fantastic, the one that's on Xbox. It's just a thing that they let people play at, like, Gamescom a couple of years ago. But the amount of animation in that game that still keeps up with how responsive the combat needs to be, you're just sliding around levels, like, flicking, going through dudes' legs, shoot them up, and you grab a guy and you throw him, and
I was going to say, this seems to me like the first opportunity that Capcom have really to make a Devil May Cry game realize its full potential. Because obviously, you know, we all enjoyed the earlier games, like the older generations and stuff. But no console before now has really been able to capture the sense of movement and fluidity and violence and all the chaos that would happen when you're doing these moves until now. And it looks absolutely stunning. Yeah. Like, visually, I'm still blown away by this. I don't expect a hack and slash game to be this visual masterpiece, but all the way sparks fly and, like, the way you can chain combos together, it just looks fantastic. I'm really excited about it.
You can also wield a bike. So if you want to split a bike in half and wield it, you do that and you put it back
together. They do that in The Simpsons when Homer fights the biker
people. True, they also kind of did it in Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is a deep cut.
Oh, yeah!
For PS2 fans. Although that was more of a bus or a police car that you could
split in
half. Or a tank.
Yeah.
But not to worry. Also, The Division 2 comes out on the 15th of March, but we're not going to dwell on all of these games. We'll be here all day. To be honest, though, me and Jules played The Division 2, and it was surprisingly good. I actually thought that they'd learned quite a lot from the mistakes of the original. They had a lot more enemy variety and level variety.
Could be another Watch Dogs 2 in the sense that they take a controversial premise or controversial release and then kind of, you know, give it the time and attention that it actually deserved the first time around and then make something good of it.
It is weird because I said I wasn't going to dwell on it, but just, it's strange because we just lamented Anthem being like a loot shooter and The Division is absolutely that to a T. But I guess if you sort of drill it down, it's like, well, how interesting is the combat? Anthem just seems like you're unloading right triggers into everybody, whereas at least in The Division 2 on the demo that me and Jules played, it seemed like you were taking enemies out in very specific ways. You had to make sure you were taking cover and flanking people. It was way more tactics.
Cool.
And I would hope that Ubisoft have maybe brought some
of
the mentalities.
That's what I want
across
from Tom Clancy.
Some of the mentalities across from Siege.
Ubisoft are really good at, like, doing sequels, I think. Like, you said you and Watch Dogs 1 to Watch Dogs 2 is a big jump. Let's we forget Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2. It's always the sequel that seems to fully realize the potential of a flawed original. So I'm holding our hope for The Division 2.
Possible. Next game is a big old deal. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is out on the 22nd of March, which is the next game from
March software. Is packed.
March is doing it.
Lousy smart weather.
But yeah, looking at Sekiro, it was highly rumored to be, like, was it going to be the next Bloodborne? Is it going to be the next Tenchu? Is it going to be the next? It was some old school horror Japanese RPG that FromSoft done ages ago. Turns out it's kind of all three. But the thing that's, for me, that's the most fascinating about this is the way that you move. It's got way more verticality to it, and you're doing stealth kills, and like just looking at the gameplay, you're getting thrown up in the air. It's way more cinematic. It's like Devil May Cry almost. In some
this
areas.
Might be the game that I actually enjoy from FromSoft. I don't know. It looks visually, again, absolutely stunning. I love the sense of mobility and everything to it. The only thing it needs to test now is my patience. We shall see how it goes.
I don't think they'll have skimped on the difficulty. One of the clips that got out from the original showing was the main guy was fighting this massive golem-looking thing, unloaded a bunch of attacks, and the golem just sort of took them and then picked him up and threw him off the level.
Which is
and
what so, I'll do to the disc.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it might be a sign of things to come. Josh,
one of my most anticipated games of the year. The only thing I'm worried about is that Activision is publishing it, and I'm a bit scared about that.
Who knows what? It is weird.
In 5 years' time, you'll have to you'll be worried because they'll take it down from every single online store, and you'll never be able to play it again.
I have to hope that, considering Hidetaka Miyazaki went from, I think he was lead designer on like Demon's Souls or Dark Souls, all the way up to the head of From Software, he has the weight, the artistic clout to just say no to any potential money grubby policies or whatever that might get put into the game. Assumedly, there aren't any at all.
But that's the thing. I mean, Activision are bad with their multiplayer games and shoehorning in dodgy business practices. But
would you
they
play for Souls though?
I don't know. Would you?
We wouldn't. If they put that in there,
all I'm saying is they didn't put any microtransactions into Crash Bandicoot or Spyro, so hopefully they won't put any into Sekiro either.
Can they just stop making publishing games? Can they just stop? They don't want to. They evidently don't want to.
There's a lovely little video you can find on What Culture Gaming on why Activision have stopped publishing games as a whole.
I pitch it.
Need it.
I would highly recommend that video to everybody who hasn't seen it yet. Josh did a hell of a lot of deep diving
and Jules
some...
and Jules it was yeah, a
Jules,
good call.
Jules presented it and whatever, but it was a team effort, but the amount of data digging that you did provided some incredible insights into exactly how they are as a company. Also, Mortal Kombat 11 starts off April the 23rd of April, ends April, but Mortal Kombat 11 is coming,
right?
Which Mortal Kombat is one of my favourite franchises. I thought 10 was a little bit more of the same. I think 11 will take a whole lot of cues from Injustice 2. And they've already, I think when you go to pre-order it, you can read one of the blurbs which said that there's this whole customization system, cosmetic system that's going to be in there. So assumedly it'll be like Injustice 2's, and you'll be buying a million different shoulder pads. And
Injustice 2 is great for that. I love that. If only I was good at it, because it has everything that I absolutely love. I mean, I'm not that fussed about Mortal Kombat, but obviously I love superheroes, etc. So, and you know, I've kind of dabbled in Mortal Kombat in the past. Mm-hmm. It makes me wince a little bit when the extra gruesome.
Do you want to spike a guy through the face? With your wrists.
Right. Only in cartoony Assassin's Creed fashion where it doesn't feel like it has any consequence. Violence without consequence, folks. I don't want to stick my head through someone's gut after going, here's Johnny. Because
that was weird, that.
Yeah.
That was a little bit too creepy.
It's not weird. What do you mean it's weird? How is that the line in Mortal Kombat?
I think that is the line. There's a bit when in 10, I forget whose fatality it is, but you rip a dude's throat out and you put it in his mouth and he chokes on his own throat and he falls over.
As I say that,
it sounds amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. But I'm curious to see what they do, considering that the more realistic, the more 4K heavy, whatever, the better the rendering technology becomes, how much can you still do really ridiculously over-the-top visceral and not draw the attention of the entire world? And so I'm kind of curious how they go, because Mortal Kombat 10 wasn't derided in any way, but did have intestines flailing about and brains being severed and whatever. So I kind of want to see some of that stuff. Also coming in April, only 3 days later, your friend and mine.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Days gone on the 26th of April.
Okay.
Go on.
A lot like Crackdown 3, yeah. This can only, like... This can only exceed expectations because everyone's sort of expectations for it are quite low.
Yes.
We're all like, oh, well, it'll tide us over to The Last of Us 2. It looks like a strange sort of squib in Sony's
place.
Yeah, open world zombie game. He rides a bike. It's like Daryl from The Walking Dead or Sons of Anarchy. We've seen it before.
Yes.
But it might be good because, you know, Sony, when was the last time Sony disappointed us on the exclusive front? Was
it like it's very, very
the
true.
Order 1886? They've been hitting it out the park. Mm. That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a long time ago. And Sony Bend have been working on this for a long time. They've had projects pushed back. I don't think Sony would have gone ahead with this unless they believed in it. Mm. And I'm hoping that faith isn't
My big fear is that these were two guys just in a room and like they went into this room in 2010 and were asked to come up with the most awesome, like Mr. Sony himself. Walks in with glasses and like his scruffy necktie. Two supermodels. Like, hey, I need you guys to create the ultimate sickest game ever. And they're just there, like, wow, okay. And then they get zombies, Daryl, everything. And then they emerge 6 years later. And then he's just there, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we left you in there for such a long time.
Forgot about you.
It's strange. I mean, I have faith in Sony Bend. Like, they did the Uncharted Golden Abyss on the Vita. I forget what else Bend did, but they've done some great stuff. Their general reputation is very positive. And I do want to have faith in them. It's just, there's something about the whole project that just isn't coming together. You see it on every comment section, every forum post, like, every way that this game has been covered, where it doesn't seem like it has a hook. It's just open world zombies, and that's it. Mm. And maybe it can be the best version of that, but at least something like State of Decay had a lot of, like, you know, inventory management or people management, and even like that had the whole thing where, you know, if you turn the game off, time still ticks over. You had lots of like weird little metaphysical or meta connections
it's
to the
crying
game.
Out for a co-op element.
Yeah, totally. And like it seems like Days Gone is not a step back, because it's, I don't know, it seems like a very refined version of an idea that is many, many years old, or at least to me. And obviously, like, since I read online as well, someone was criticizing, why is he riding a hog when you're trying to stay quiet in the zombie apocalypse? And ever since I read that, I was like, yeah.
Because it looks cool.
It looks cool, mate. Not to worry.
I will add one more thing to this. Yes. The worry with Days Gone, in my opinion, is that it might set a weird precedent of what a Sony exclusive is. Because we've seen all of their big names sort of transition into being third-person, story-driven action games. Mm-hmm. And will this sort of damage Days Gone? I don't know. I don't know if that would have been better as a more experimental thing, but it's very much in the Sony mold. Mm. And I don't know at what point that stops being creative and becomes kind of limiting they kind of continue.
It is really interesting because, yeah, I mean, I remember noticing that with God of War, and they showed off the new God of War, and as soon as the camera went behind his back and he was just like narrative sequence, and it was like, okay, from The Last of Us, or from, and like Uncharted 4, it indulges in that stuff more. And like, yeah, it's kind of become like a Sony trait to do like narrative heavy stuff over shoulder cameras. And I imagine, I'm nigh on guaranteed that Days Gone will have sequences like that, and I'm pretty sure I've seen one in one of the gameplay clips.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, if they're going down a more mechanical route, a more like Ubisoft-ish route, then yeah, maybe it's more of a risk than we think, kind of thing, considering the brand. But I don't know, I just question how much people have burnt out on open world zombies, so I guess I'm kind of curious to see how it goes, because I don't think State of Decay 2 did very well. So, not to worry. But speaking of post-apocalypses, Rage 2 is on the 14th of May.
Yay!
Which looks very good. Yes. Now, we haven't got that much time to break down Rage 2, but this is the hyper-coloured, purple, green-looking extravaganza of fun that, what's-his-face, Far Cry New Dawn wishes it was.
Last year was all about the blues and purples. This year is all about the greens and pink. I'm excited for Rage 2. I played a little bit of the first one when it first came out. I loved the... Back when you were little and all you needed was... Oh, not little, I was about 12 when it came out, 14. All you needed was a gimmick, and the gimmick was deathly bladed boomerang thing.
That was a gimmick.
And that was both that and Borderlands made this... Was it 2010 the first one came out? I think it was.
Yes.
Both that and Borderlands made my summer that year. So there we go.
I think this one, I mean, it's weird because it's co-developed by like id Software and Avalanche, but the more you read into it, apparently Avalanche are doing everything. It's just that id have like helped them or provided the source tech or whatever.
Well, that's cool because they did Mad Max, didn't they?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, Mad Max Remains, as I'll mention, every possible instance I can, one of the most overlooked games of all time. But yeah, Avalanche are a very, very good studio. Just Cause 4 is very solid. And looking at the gameplay for Rage 2, it's everything you love about Doom's combat mixed with the sort of like weighty physics of Mad Max for the driving sections. So maybe there's something in there that can be something amazing.
Absolutely.
Speaking of driving things, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled is out on the 21st of June. This is literally the thing that I've played more than anything else in the world.
And it's why you're so scared about it, isn't it, Scott? So
I'm not scared of it. I'm going to beat literally every single
Yeah, but
person.
What if the physics are slightly off and you complain about it for a whole year? What happens then, Scott?
Well, then we just talk about it as one of the Game of the Year contenders. Do anything about it. And you and Jules insist on putting it on the ranking. But hopefully that won't be the case, because that's what completely killed the Crash remake for me. It was that my muscle memory was all off because they applied Crash 3's physics to Crash 1 and 2 and it just made everything feel really broken.
In
this case, providing they don't bring across Crash Nitro Kart's physics and they just stick to the original CTR, then it'll be beautiful.
Remade the wrong game, mate. It should have been the one where you warp into each other. The race one?
Yes.
What
was that? Tag team racing.
Tag team.
Play anything after CTR because none of them exist. Naughty Dog did CTR and they left.
Tag team racing was where it was at.
No, it wasn't. It was somewhere else. It was in the original CTR. But not to worry, I don't know exactly which one they're drawing from. Obviously, it's called Crash Team Racing, but who's to know how many different other elements of the franchise they might bring in. But the big thing with this is that they're using some of Naughty Dog's original levels that didn't make the cut, like they did in the remake of the Crash trilogy with the... It wasn't Stormy.
Stormy, it was.
There was a couple of them anyway that apparently didn't make the cut, and they're doing it with the tracks in this as well, which is really cool for fans like me. And you can go online for the first time ever, which I am looking forward to. I want to see if I am the best CTR player.
I can't
in the
wait
world.
To mix PSN abuse with Crash Team Nitro Racing.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. Since I've known you, you have not stopped. I'm not kidding. You've picked up your Crash your Crash Team Racing skills.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's in your bio on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen you play this game.
Okay, back when Ben and Peter were still here, me and them two and Jules played Crash Team Racing. I won so hard that Jules gave up. And so I was lapping them over and over again. There's no joke here. I'm incredibly good.
This is where the camera flashes forward and the physics are off one bit. He's doing donuts in a circle.
The game is broken.
If they get one minuscule thing wrong, then this is not even entering Game of the Year. Okay. I don't even care. I'll burn the whole building down. But hopefully they'll do it well. Because Crash Team Racing is the best kart racing game ever made. Better than Mario Kart. Always has been. Let me know in the comments. So next game is The Last of Us 2, which doesn't have a specific numbered numerical date, but it does have a window of June/July.
Right.
So Last of Us 2, pretty hyped.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I'm looking... It was one of those things where when it was first announced, I was actually kind of a bit miffed because I think the first Last of Us game, it didn't need anything else.
Yeah,
I thought
they
ended it in the perfect way. And it was such a good commentary, like you said, on like the lengths you'd go to protect the ones you love and like the idea of like sacrifice, etc. I'm still, to a degree, I'm still kind of like, I don't think this is necessary, but at the same time, Naughty Dog have my complete faith. So,
and plus, Neil Druckmann came out and said, because this is the first one, I don't think he did Uncharted 4 by himself.
No, it was him and Bruce Straley.
Yes. It was always Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley, and this is the first one that Druckmann's doing himself, but he came out and said, look, we wouldn't be doing an additional story if we didn't think it was worth it.
Yeah.
And they have the finite, they don't need to do another thing. And so assuming there's something else to tell, because I was totally like, oh God, I don't need this.
Yeah.
And I love the absolute stones on the ending of the original, just cut to black. With Ellie's face, it's great. But having read into it a little bit of where it seems like the story's going, all the stuff with Ellie's real mum coming back into it, and like stuff with, you know, like obviously Joel has to maintain the lie and the Fireflies, and Ellie's like angry against the Fireflies. I don't know, I love those characters so much that I'm just going to cry through the vast majority of it for good or bad. I'm just going to be like, oh, they're doing everything.
Yeah.
And so I guess we'll see.
I hope it comes out this year. I love how we don't know much about the story so far. Like we've said about Ellie's mum, that's like theories like we put together, like, we've like sort of scoured the internet for, but we actually don't know. Everything we've seen from the story so far has been sort of fragmented and from different potential time periods. We don't know how it all connects, and I kind of love going into a big game like this not actually sort of knowing what's even going on.
It's really comforting, especially considering the way the last game ended. It could have been totally easy for them to just show a trailer picking up minutes after what happened there, but the fact that they're not, you know, it gives a nice ghost of confidence.
There's some really good stuff with it seems like they're highlighting different timelines as well, like the whole thing with like Ellie in the party scene, which cuts to her like either in the future or the past, and she's fighting off against different people, and the way that they've advanced their third person tech, like you've got all these weird interlocking animations. I've seen different game devs on Twitter freak out about the way that Naughty Dog can mesh just like gameplay you're controlling one to one, and then you like that bit when Ellie slides through the bootcase and that turns into a cutscene on the other side, then it goes back to gameplay. We've seen Rockstar do bits of that in Red Dead Redemption 2, but I think that's the next level of like gameplay and animation and cutscene and whatever all coming together. So that stuff looks really good. Something that doesn't look very good is Shenmue 3 coming on the 27th of August. Now, it's not to say that Shenmue can't be amazing, but looking at the screenshots, looking at the amount of hype that's been around Shenmue for 20 years now, it looks like something from 20 years ago.
It does. There's like one face animation that I've seen so far.
How much money did that get through Kickstarter?
It was a lot. It was a lot more. It was enough to render a face, so they could have done something. I think I would hope that they've deliberately gone, okay, let's make this game deliberately suit the market as it would have been back in the late 90s. But it's strange because Shenmue's whole hook is this is the first time you could fully interact with a world. You can pick up the brochure and you can do whatever. And I wonder if they even have that hook anymore.
It's very ironic. It's almost it's interesting, like you said, because the original like two Shenmues, they were very, very, very revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're kind of trading on the nostalgia of the first two games, when those games were so not of their time, kind of like the Dreamcast, just saying, it is a little bit disconcerting.
I wonder what their hook will be, because back then it was, you get to interact with this entire world, and it's like, clearly this doesn't have the same level of meticulous design that something that Red Dead Redemption 2 has, a big part of Red Dead 2's appeal is how much you can interact with everything. And so I kind of wonder just what the hell this game is. But assumedly they'll have refined the combat stuff, and like there'll be more. I'm waiting to see what else they've done. But this might just be a shinier, you know, the third part they were going to give you 20 years ago.
I really want to know how well the remasters of 1 and 2 sold, because I want to know what the market actually is for this game. Do you actually?
Yeah.
Did you play them?
I've played a hell of a lot more of the first one than the second one.
Okay.
But yeah, they're janky as hell. Like, some games split from 20 years ago you can revisit very easily. These were clearly trying to, you know, were not punching above their weight or whatever, station, but you look at the things they were trying to do, and the third person like control in open world games has come along such a long way, and interaction with open world elements and stuff has come along such a long way. You don't realize how many quality of life improvements have been made until you play something like that. Like, it's awkward.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, I mean, you assume that there's always been this crazy rabid fan base, but
with something like Shenmue 3, I can kind of hold my hands up and be like, this game isn't for me. I don't quite get it. And there are lots of people who do, and I hope this game satisfies them. But I can't see it satisfying people who are going into the franchise for the first time, and that's fine. I think.
Yeah,
I think it's fine.
I think a lot of people who, I mean, I grew up with Yakuza instead, which a lot of people view the Yakuza series as the spiritual sequel to the Shenmue games, and so like there's a weird quirkiness to that whole group of games that I kind of want to go back to. I would still totally recommend Shenmue 1 and 2, but you've got to put up with a brick wall of awkwardness to get there. But still, so that's the end of the games that we have specific dates for or specific windows for. I'm going to throw a few more games in here because we do need to wrap up at some point. But three more games that are scheduled for 2019 but without any month or date. First one is The Outer Worlds, which is the new Obsidian game.
Yes.
Which is literally them. The marketing trailer for that was just the most like just on the table done thing, where it was like, we're the dudes who made the original Fallout from the developers of Fallout New Vegas. Right in the middle of Fallout, like Bethesda just throwing a bucket on Fallout 76, trying to get it to put out for a second. And they were like, hey, by the way, we're the guys.
I like to imagine that Todd Howard, he's really nice and public, but then he sees that and he like goes off screen. He's got a little headset on. He's just like, yeah, take him out. Like that or something like that. But, you know.
But luckily, I mean, yeah, so Obsidian were bought by Microsoft. The Outer Worlds, I thought this was the first Microsoft exclusive game. It's not. This is the one that was already being in developed. I forget what the original publisher was, but now it's with Microsoft. And so The Outer Worlds will be on PS4 as well. But looking at the trailer for it, it's incredibly Fallout in terms of the presentation, in terms of the dialogue choices, in terms of the statistics, the way you're ranking your characters up. It's very much them going, here's the Fallout we would do if we could.
Can't bloody wait.
And it's a great mix of like sort of like old school themed, like Americana, like all these different advertising styles, but also in space. Because why not? Because you might as well get ahead of Bethesda doing Starfield and just jab them in the kidneys before they've even got there.
Didn't even think of that, Scott.
Yeah, Bethesda's like, well, we're going to go to space now. Are we already there? Already got a colony, mate.
We're the first people to ever go to space through the RPG.
Bethesda's just trying to put a flag down, and then it just glitches out. Next game is Doom Eternal, also scheduled for 2019, but we don't know when. More Doom is good Doom. More Doom is amazing.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't played the Doom 2016 reboot. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The amount of the different way, the speed of play in that game is unlike
perfect example of a game divesting from modern genre cliches by bringing things back to basics and in itself kind of innovating the genre. Yeah. It's very, very weird, but great. At
that
the
game's
same time.
Mesh of music and game is phenomenal as well. The soundtrack by Mick Gordon is one of my absolute favorites. And the opening shotgun cock with the guitar riff is just a beautiful thing.
He loves cocking shotguns.
No, I'm going to sit in it because I love it that much. But also the next game is Control, which is the next game from Remedy. That's scheduled for 2019, but we don't know when. Control is... So Remedy obviously did Max Payne, they did Quantum Break, Alan Wake.
There we go. And so, what are we talking about?
Quantum Break, Yeah.
That's the good stuff.
I will stay away from Alan Wake. I wanted to like that game more than I did, but that's a conversation for a different time. The last game they did with Quantum Break, which kind of suffered because Microsoft had this whole TV push and we're doing this Kinect-based crap. And so Quantum Break was designed to be the first game that would have a TV component with it as well. And then ultimately Microsoft walked the hell away from that. And then Quantum Break came out and it just didn't land properly. But in terms of the performances, the graphics, the gameplay, everything is solid. I think Remedy deserved more attention. Control, though, looks to be more of that. It's more over the top, like supernatural powers. And kind of taps into PsyOps or Second Sight.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of like mind control. You pick this up and throw it at dudes and stuff. Which not enough games have done that. Only those two games and the Star Wars Force Unleashed games ever did pick up the environment and throw it. Which everyone should be doing that.
We've had this is going to do it, Scott.
Well, I hope it does. I mean, at this point, there seems a lot of the levels that they've shown off seem to be in like virtual reality, and it looks sweet. But what do you guys think of Remedy in general?
Yeah, I think they're a fantastic studio. It's weird that they were kind of in limbo for so long after Alan Wake, because they had American Nightmare come out, which was this weird kind of arcadey third-person shooter stuff, and it felt for a while as though they were never going to get to do the stuff that they want to make. But that's what's so refreshing about this, is that they look like they're a studio who are getting to do kind of what they're best at.
This feels entirely it's them.
It feels like 90s TV, but in a video game, like with kind of goofy premises and like supernatural stuff, and like it's great. I love it.
For me, nothing's hit the high that Max Payne did, and so I would love them to do something more like the whole, you know, like Sam Spade style old school film noir. I think they write that stuff so well. The dialogue in Max Payne is phenomenal. So whatever, but I guess that Control's meant to be dropping this year, so we'll see. And in terms of another the final smattering of stuff that is just to be available, like, you know, there's no defined date at all, but hopefully it'll be 2019. We got Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes. That's the one I want the most.
We've got Skull and Bones, which Josh cares about.
I care about it. It's like the best elements of Assassin's Creed 4.
Can you even
potentially remotely the Assassin's Creed series? Right. I'm not saying that. Don't kill me.
I'm down for this.
Doing a banner.
If you can do the thing where each person controls a different part of the ship. I don't want to be on my own ship. I would like someone. I know, but with like proper like.
Do you know what this will be? It'll be exactly what you think it is. It'll be the bit of Assassin's Creed sliced off like a Christmas roast and served up with just a little slice.
Sometimes that's all you need, Scott. Sometimes you don't need all those mashed potatoes. You do need
them. No, you do need them. The little thing, that's what you give the dog. It's not a full thing.
Whoa. It's what you have.
Give him a little mini roast.
Give
him a little mini.
Yeah, you do it, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so Skull and Bones is the pirate theme stuff from Assassin's Creed Black Flag /Odyssey/Origins or whatever. Is its own game. And there is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which comes from A Man in the
Audience. I believe that's coming out this year.
Want to believe it. I mean, I don't even know. We haven't seen a single screenshot. We haven't seen anything.
I remember the first announcement was just two guys whacking some lightsabers together in the background out of focus. And then there was that one little 5-second, like they had the whole Battlefront 2 demo. And then EA just there like, also we have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
But just, bye.
What is it?
If you break down like just that announcement where it's just like we got this new Star Wars thing, and then like Andre Rene goes out into the audience and sits down with him and goes, "What's your new game?" He's like, "Oh, actually, yeah, we do. Yeah, it's called this." Like from the audience, that's mental.
We cannot expect more from EA, who have a weird way of announcing games. I remember when when the Battlefront was the first thing we saw Battlefront was off screens of them like modeling stuff.
True.
So I don't expect anything more from EA. I do expect a lot from Respawn Entertainment, who have not disappointed me yet.
Timefall 2. If it's like Timefall 2, but like Star Wars Jedi Knight, and you bring back Kyle Katarn.
Oh my god.
I am here.
Ooh. That's ooh.
Well, I'm gonna need a wet wipe.
I've not even thought of meshing those two things together. Titanfall 2 is the best first-person shooter of the generation. Plus, it is Josh Brown.
I just love the boldness of it. It's the best.
I mean, what's it up against? Siege and Overwatch.
Marrying, because the original Jedi Knight games, they had a mixture of first-person shoot, and then third-person slicey dice. So if you mix those two things together, bada bing, bada boom, I'm walking here. And other such New York catchphrases.
You're running there. That could be amazing. Okay, so the last two games, Cyberpunk 2077, you know, it's just potentially dropping in 2019.
Yes. On the theme of messing your pants, Cyberpunk 2077.
At this stage, considering how The Witcher 3 dropped, where just CD Projekt Red had a bit of a time with all the downgrade conversations and all that kind of stuff, and they've literally just said, look, we'll just hold back. We'll wait until it's completely ready and then we'll put it out. They're developing and publishing. so they can take as long as they want.
Do we think it's coming out this year?
Yes.
Like, realistically,
yes.
Is it out this year?
Yes, because they started planning it back in 2013.
I mean, I'm with you. I just don't want to get my...
When they showed that thing off a few months back, when they showed the 45-minute gameplay demo, that was way more together than the vast majority of fully priced release Ubisoft games. So I'm pretty much up for...
He's got not wrong there, pal.
Yeah, I mean, like, looking at what they put out, I mean, that could be obviously the vertical slice. The entire game could still be getting put together. But yeah, I think a 2019 release. Because the only other option is that you wait and then it's something like a PS5 launch game. Which, well, potentially, but they don't owe Sony anything or whatever, so I don't know. I see it dropping in 2019. Because as many games as we've gone through, that I think Cyberpunk would completely dominate. The only thing it would go up against and suffer would be Last of Us. So they've got a whole rest of the calendar to play with. So even if it drops towards the end of the year, like a Red Dead or something.
I still think really Ghosty well. Toasty could be another Red Dead-esque spectacle of immense proportions.
I hope so. I think we need to see more of Ghost of Tsushima because at the minute it's got a bit of like Neo vibes, which I love, but I don't think it's as big as it could be. And the last game is just whatever the living hell Rocksteady are working on.
And Warner Brothers Montreal. We don't know who's striking first. Will it be Montreal? Will it be Rocksteady?
Even still in business.
I'm tapping out of this decision. Yeah. I've done so many news videos.
Don't go.
Reporting on bloody videos.
Just don't go.
I'm going. I've done so many.
You guys have written up so much and we've talked about it so much.
And I've believed so many of them, and now I just don't know what to believe. And there's a new rumor every single week, and I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to badger them. Just they can show me it when it's ready. That's fine. I don't want to be this entitled gamer who's like, show me this thing. There's so many rumors. But
it's been a long time, mate.
It's insane.
It feels longer than it is. It's been 6 years since Arkham Origins.
Yes.
And it'll be four years since Arkham Knight.
They've clearly got something. I think at this stage they're doing what No Man's Sky did post-launch, where it's just like, look, we're just going to wait until it's fully formed and then do a rock star and be like, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, whatever it is, I mean, they keep saying what it isn't. So they've said it isn't a Superman game. But then everyone reads between the lines and goes, well, maybe it's Superman plus someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the fact of the matter is we don't know anything. And half the leaks that have come out, although they've been detailed, have since been proven.
Arkham Knight is a totally original character.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, because even the thing they said, I'm like, well, you lied last time. Like, you literally said that the Arkham Knight was a brand new character developed for the game.
Mm.
Complete lie.
Yeah.
Like, that suit of armor was, but that's not a character.
Joker is the main villain of Batman. Black Mask is the main villain in Arkham Origins.
Black Mask the main villain. Joker's done. Like, there's all that, and so I don't take them at their word anymore. And so, hence
we
keep covering it every now and then, because we're like, well, if it is true, and we've been right when we've covered rumors in the
And also, we're all obviously very excited about what they have next in store, because they're both very talented studios.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, hopefully, I mean, maybe the Superman thing is a lie. I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. Because the leaked stuff about the Superman game sounded great. This sort of mid-air combat system where you're flying through cities, like the end of Man of Steel, could be potentially cool, minus the millions dead. And so, I guess we'll see whatever they come out with. But for now, that has been the What Culture Gaming podcast. I forget how long we've been going for, but not to worry. I've been your
Forever.
Host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
I'll see you in the Shadow Realm.
And joined by Josh Brown.
Hello and goodbye.
And it's very lackadaisical goodbye.
It's January.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.